So we got a big guest on the show, hey? Like big Kabungo? What's his name?
It's not Kabungo. It's not Kabongo. It's the Big Schwag.
Hey, it's the Big Schwag from Pastime and Monster Garage, and you're listening to GA and Sparky on It's a Show. Really, you guys called your show It's a Show? You couldn't come up with something different? Really, that's what you called it? It's a Show! Get with it, folks!
Welcome to episode 27.
What is it?
Episode 19.
Episode 19 of It's a
Show.com.
GA and Sparky, your resident hosts with the most. And yes, we do have the Big Schwag joining us in the second half today. He's in Los Angeles, an actor, host, car enthusiast, and bigger than life personality. Just from the first day we met each other, just hit it off, really dig the guy, and it's going to be awesome.
It's kind of a big deal. I was just reading over his credits, and holy crap, he's been on every show. He's like, and I'm talking like House, Desperate Housewives, NYPD Blue, like shows we know.
Real shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legit
and
shows.
He's, part, and he's been Leatherface until he hurt his back and had to get
Two-Face,
replaced.
All sorts of faces.
Face Off. Anyway, looking forward to Schwag is going to be a classic, so stay tuned for that in the second half. You're going to find this shocking, but I forgot all my show notes on my other computer.
You got to put them on
I printed
on the,
them off.
No, don't print. Put them on the drive, the Google Drive. You're on Gmail now.
Okay, so you got me on Gmail.
I've
logged into the account. I remembered the password, so let's give me that for a victory. Now, the only thing is, now I saw the beautiful calendar that you created.
Uh-huh.
So if I just type on my side, it'll show up on your side? Is that how it works?
Yeah. We shared calendars.
Okay.
What's mine is yours, yours is mine.
So a promise ring, what's next?
That's right.
Now, the thing is, you made that cool email signature with the It's a Show logo and everything, and I envy you. I'm envious and jealous. So I made one of my own, which I deemed to be a little cooler than yours, but I could not insert it. It wouldn't let me insert it in the email thinger.
I think you need a lesson on all things with computers.
Google, I need more than one lesson. Okay, you promised to show me that before we go tonight.
Okay, I will promise. Promise to show you that.
Make that happen.
I actually took some notes and look where I put them on the Google Drive.
So if I had a computer and logged in right now, I could see my own notes.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd need to bring your own computer. We only have limited resources in the studio today.
We're going
to
shop on Kijiji and get it.
That's a good deal. This second monitor that I picked up for $40 on Kijiji, I'm telling you, that is the way to go.
Kijiji's everything. And, you know, I talked to a guy just a couple of days ago who got a set of kick-ass tires. Mm-hmm. These tires were $300 a piece, and he got them for like $80 a piece.
See, that's sold.
Brand new.
And I got a friend, not on Kijiji, but we got to talking, and they installed air conditioning in their house. And she's like, I got this portable one. It works great. Hooks up to the window. Keeps the room awesome. Remote control, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Thinking about selling it. I was like, oh, well, let me know. I face west in this third floor apartment.
It's going to get smoking.
Gets a little warmish. She's like, you know what? We'll sell for $150. Boom, sold.
You're done. You bought an air conditioner.
I know.
You're a proud owner.
I don't even need one for probably 3 more months.
If we would have talked to each other a couple of months ago, I sold mine on Kijiji.
Oh, well, geez.
Yes. I've been carrying that sucker across Canada. I bought it at a Canadian Tire in Ontario 100 years ago.
For like 150.
Never installed it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was about $148. I sold it for $100.
There you go.
You know, like, save myself some moving costs this time around.
Now, is it one of those sit in the window situations?
Sit in the window.
See, I can't have that.
I've never done that before. I don't know how to make the frame to sit it in the window. Yeah. It's impossible to me.
Then you got to put, make sure the thing, like in Seinfeld, you remember that episode? Okay, so Jerry wants to get an air conditioner because his girlfriend loves it cold.
Yeah.
So him and Kramer, the yada yada.
Which
Kramer
has some obvious side effects, which are good.
Right.
For the day.
Kramer knows a guy, probably Bob Sacamano or whatever his name is. So he gets his air conditioner unit, brings it to the apartment, sets it in the window, pulls down the blind. And he's like, there you go, installed. And Jerry's like, what? That's not installed. Kills the dog. It hurts the dog in the end of the episode.
Yeah. Classic. The dog was injured, but not killed in the making of
that's
that
right.
We're going to talk more about Seinfeld with the Big Schwag in the second half, which is good. And I want to talk about fencing.
Yes.
How
on
much,
God.
Yeah.
Is that
not fencing
say?
On the farm, but fencing. Yes.
Good
the
call.
Sport of fencing. So my kids, both my son, who just turned 15.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you've heard of his work. Intern Louie on the show.
A.K.A. Scooby Sway.
Scooby Sway. And also Ava, who is about to turn 12.
Mm-hmm.
Her best friend, Cammie, is in this fencing. She's been doing this 4 years, and she actually won a silver medal at the Winter Games. I was going to say Olympics, but it was Winter Games.
Still a big deal.
It's a big deal. And we got to see a little bit of this fencing action in the first lesson tonight. Now, I was late for the interview with Big Schwag because I was at the first fencing lesson. I couldn't tear myself away. It was so awesome. And he doesn't even let you pick up a... So
let's, yeah, you let's know, Google. We got the Google machine.
There, I'm the sure impaler, the shaft. She got the gold mine. I got the fencing. Sword. It's not a scabbard. That's what you put it in. Fencing. Competitive fencing.
Foil. Saber.
Oh, épée. That's what they were calling it. That's French.
Ah.
En français.
Épée.
So foil. I like foil.
I like saber.
Okay. Well, let's see it to each his own. And anyway, it's all about the footwork. And yeah. This European instructor, he's from Bulgaria.
Oh.
Cool accent. And he was an Olympic guy. He was in the Olympics. And he knows what he's doing, man. And before you ever pick up the foil or scabbard or saber, you got to know the footwork. And so they were working on that. And I thought that was super cool. So it's going to be fun for the kids.
Expensive slightly. I can only imagine. Hobbies and sports, no matter what you do, always cost the dollars and cents.
Yeah, you sign up the kids because they got to do something, right?
They do. Trust me. As a kid, even though I'm 28, who needs to do something? It's because I don't want to spend the money. I'm cheap that way.
Yeah.
But I want a hobby. So that's good that you're developing.
You could do this. You would probably dig this, actually.
You know, I
might.
It's
a thinking man's thing, right? Yeah. Like it's a, and that's what Louis's like. He's like a strategist. He loves the stuff. And Ava's very astute like that, too. And I think you would get a kick out of this.
Mm-hmm. I know last week was April Fool's and this is days later. But can I tell you how much I hate this day with every burning fiber and being in my body?
You don't
body?
Like April Fool's Day.
I hate it.
Okay.
I am not. I appreciate a great prank.
Right.
Great. But just an excuse to like take my mouse off my desk, that's not a prank.
Yeah. That's stealing your mouse off your desk.
That's offensive and allows me an excuse to leave early for lunch because I have no mouse.
And I heard you had a good lunch. Did you not have a good lunch?
I came home. It was a 2-hour lunch. And I made some chicken and some rices. Watched some Gossip Girl. I'm on season 5 now.
Nobody cares about the Gossip Girl. We're going to have an intervention. Now, here's the thing. The one thing I heard of that was a good gag was you take the cheese package out of the Kraft mac and cheese and you mix it in a juice pitcher. And you leave it in the fridge and somebody drinks the cheese juice.
See, that's kind of funny.
That's gross.
That's really funny.
Gross, but funny.
At the office, someone printed out an official looking instruction sheet about the photocopier, how it's voice activated. So you can say copy, print, scan, right?
Which is easy to believe in this day and age.
Hey, it can happen.
If it wasn't on April Fool's Day.
It can happen. And someone did it actually today because it's still up there.
Classic. That's funny.
It wasn't me. But
too bad you should have filmed that for the YouTube.
I'm finally catching up on
we have a YouTube, but we don't use it.
We're working on it. Yeah. I'm catching up on the two April Fool gags on TV that I am aware of. One of them is Drew Carey on The Late Late Show, who, of course, switched spots with Craig Ferguson.
I heard that was going to happen.
Who hosted The Price is Right.
Right.
So they did a swaparoo.
Right.
They promoted it, of course, so it wasn't like a surprise. Oh, I'm confused. I don't know what's happening. So I did watch Drew Carey on the Late Late Show. Not a fan. Yes, Drew Carey doesn't do that as a day-to-day job, and he's not greased, if you will, but I didn't find him good at all.
No.
No. And I appreciate that he's skinny and that he lost all the weight, but I think because he doesn't want the extra chin skin.
What happens?
I think he always just tilts his head up. So
yeah, that's a thing. That's a technique people do.
And they brought in some extra lighting because he looked very white. He's very white.
Speaking of lighting and celebrities, remember that season when Ellen was a judge on American Idol? Oh my God.
She needs light.
Oh, she needs makeup and lighting.
She needs light.
And I did the TV show for a couple of years, and lighting and makeup, doing both of those in the perfect combination is key.
It's a skill.
Otherwise, you look like an. I was so surprised. I was shocked.
Yeah.
And I mean, I shouldn't be because she's not a young woman.
Yeah.
But it was not flattering.
Mm-hmm. I'm about halfway through Craig Ferguson hosting The Price is Right. And he, maybe because I love the guy and I'm not obsessed, but maybe slightly, he is bringing the energy. He is yelling, screaming, jumping up and down.
Stand up, but well, so is Drew Carey, I guess. But
yeah, it's just, and I guess maybe that's more of the show. It's more of a, that show, The Price is Right, which I never watched.
It's funny.
It is a batshit crazy show.
Yeah.
There are people
and it's been going on since Price was a Carpenter. It's like, old.
talk about deaf in the ear after an episode of that situation. Yeah,
that's what was on when I came into It's a Show World HQ, and I thought it was a hockey game.
Screaming and jumping. I'm glad April Fool's is over with for another year.
If you're just joining us now, Sparky is a single man of some renown, and he has a four-slice toaster on the counter. I have four children and a beautiful wife, and we have a two-slice toaster. I can't figure this out. Do you want to swap toasters? Mine's just disgusting.
That was a Christmas gift.
Dad gives it. Did we talk about this on the show or off the show?
No, you discovered it last time, and I was like, yeah, it was on my way out. Gift. Because I asked for a toaster for Christmas, and I get a four-slicer, which makes no sense to me.
You know what's lying next to the four-slice toaster is a single lonely potato. Like, I don't understand this
place. I took too many potatoes out. One side of this toaster is the settings for toast.
Yeah.
The other is the perfect setting for waffles.
Perfect setting for waffles. So
that's right. Like, I think the toast is at a 3, and I think the waffles are at a 3.5.
My wife and I had a big blow up argument in the weekend. Things were going so great, having the first cup of coffee, and she's all in a good mood. And then I ruined it.
Now what'd you do?
Well, the toaster, the shite toaster that I want to. When I get my new one, we're destroying that on the air on It's a Show. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to blow that thing up. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, it's got the setting thing, and she has the gluten-free bread, which she keeps in the freezer.
Of course.
So she cranks it to 11.
Oh, no.
And then leaves it there.
Oh,
and
no.
And then every time the rest of us make toast.
Oh, no.
By the time you figure it out, and should we check it? Yes. Could she check it? Yes. And then we got in a big argument and it was not good. So starting off the weekend badly, it was not good.
You know, there is a, don't argue over burnt toast. That's what I've learned from broken relationships.
You know what? We got to get our own t-shirt line. We're talking to our Toronto connection, G-Fark, and that we're not even going to say anything more about it. That's just...
You haven't said anything in weeks.
No, G-Fark, here's the thing with G-Fark. He wants to hook us up with some shady t-shirt retailer out of the U.S. and partner up with this. I don't even know. What's the name of that company?
Voodoo.com.
Whatever.
Warden or something like that.
But yeah, but I'm thinking, if we have these great ideas, like don't cry over burnt toast or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Why can't we make a t-shirt and sell it online like everyone else? Make some freaking money.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Let me tell you.
So how hard would it be? Okay, we're discussing.
It's not hard.
We're discussing this issue. Do we need an It's a Show standalone website? We got the Facebook. We have the Twitter. We have the iTunes. We're on the Stitcher app, all because of Sparky and his diligence. I sent you that memo about Facebook this week.
I saw.
So what Facebook is doing is slamming the doors. Basically, they've got us all. This is like an episode of The Walking Dead. They got us corralled.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they go, now you're ours. Now you're going to do what we say. And now they're going to start charging to get the word out about your products. So the example in this article that was sent to me was Nike.
Mm-hmm.
So say Nike has 16 million people following them on Facebook. That deserves a bell. That was accidental. But so only 160,000 see their posts.
Yeah.
So dirty pool. But like, are we surprised? I don't think we should be surprised.
Well, Facebook's got to be making money, right? I mean, they're now a big thing. They're
a company. But can't you sell a banner ad like on the Super Bowl? They charge whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
And they got less people watching the Super Bowl than you got on Facebook on every 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So I
love it how you just like whenever you're ready to change topics, you just go,
I mean, look,
I don't know. It's wrong.
If I win the lottery this week.
Yeah.
Website, t-shirts, a new car for everyone.
Nice.
Because obviously there's money to spend.
Yeah.
Websites, while they can be free, and if we can get free hosting.
Yeah, like you're good at making free websites that look really good.
Yeah.
You're good at that.
But I don't want it's a show.com/freewebsite.com /-net.org.
Yeah. double net. We don't need that. I get that. And it's just more to maintain. I mean, if it's going to benefit us in the long run, obviously we got to plant that seed and do it and see it grow. But if it's not, so we got to get some advice. I'm going to write that down on a notepad.
Hashtag advise us, please.
If you're a web guru or a podcast guru.
Yeah.
Almost a Show posted something today that I favorited because I wanted to. Oh, I'm charging. I got to get that. It was intriguing and I wanted to ask you about it. Almost a Show.
Why is there so many things happening?
What was I saw the word dick there.
We're not going to.
Almost a Show. You had it.
I know. It just keeps going away.
There you go.
There it is. Almost a fool's baby. When it ass shirt for just hitting like.
No.
We have to.
Oh, the podcast lawsuit right there. That one.
Okay.
What is that about? Because when I clicked through, it was one of those.
We are
original, not available at this right? time.
We're original. Name is original.
Oh, it's Adam Carolla. Could a lawsuit against Adam Carolla destroy podcasting as we know it? When intellectual property laws violate intellectual property. Oh, this does not sound good.
This looks like a hefty read. Oh, that is a big read.
But we got to do it. We got to dig into this because I don't like the sound of it.
Okay, so let's. All the juice is usually in the first paragraph.
Okay, a lawsuit heating up soon could have serious implications for podcasting as we know it. The plaintiff in the suit is a company called Personal Audio LLC based in Beaumont, Texas.
Howdy.
They have. That was funny. They have quickly gained a reputation for being patent trolls. According to an article at TechDirt, the suit filed January 2013 is a year ago, in the East Texas U.S. District Court names three of top-rated podcasts on iTunes, including Adam Carolla's outfit Ace Broadcasting, Togi Entertainment, and How Stuff Works. How Stuff Works is a great podcast that my buddy listens to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, they have sent threatening letters to several other prominent podcasters. Blah, blah, blah. The reason this has the podcasting world concerned is due to Personal Audio scoring a major victory in 2011 when it received a favorable ruling against Apple for $8 million in violation of its patent of playlists.
This sounds very American to me.
You know what? Seriously, you got to send that to me in an email, and I'm talking to my web guy, and I'm going to ask him about our website, and I'll ask him about this too. What the hell does it mean?
What the hell?
Talk to me like I'm five.
I think Big Steve here in Canada, I think we're good. But okay. What do I know about politics? I do have a Facebook rant, though. Speaking of...
Let her rip.
The bitch that Facebook has been in my life lately.
Okay.
So I'm on there, and you are aware that you can create lists, right?
No.
Well, you can create lists. You can call these lists whatever you want. You can put whoever you want on these lists. It's a filing system for your friends. If you have a 4,000 friends, you can put close friends, acquaintances, media people.
So is that so Mexicans. You can send out different content to different people?
You can, or if you just want an easier way to manage different groups of content feed.
Yeah.
You can just click on the list, and then let's say, for example, media type. I want to say what the media people are up to. Then you just get the media only, right? Family is out, close friends are out, whatever.
Sounds like a make work project to me.
I have been a fan of lists quite some time for the last couple of years. I recently discovered the office that I work at, it automatically showed up as company name here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, okay, Facebook recognizes I work for this company. I've got, let's say, 10 people also on my friends list that work for this company. Let's put them all on this list. It'll be great. Then if I care to see and read about them, then there's one click away.
You're right.
So I'm adding people. I don't know this at the time, but Facebook is suggesting a notification on the other end is saying...
To the other people that you work with?
Yeah. The other people that I work with that I've added to this list, Facebook is saying, Sparky has suggested you work at this company. Would you like to add it to your timeline? Which is fair.
Yeah.
I'm saying they're working for this company. It's not a lie.
No.
But I didn't actually ask Facebook to say that on my behalf.
It's an algorithm.
Now, the person that got this notification that I put them on a work list who thinks we should be close friends, which we are, but I don't have them on that list, got all in a tizzy.
Oh, no.
I am the bad guy.
Rift.
Who put them on a work list.
That's called a rift.
I thought we were BFFs and I should be on the BFF list. Well, I don't have a BFF list, okay?
Yeah, you were just trying to organize shit.
Yeah, I'm an organizer. That's how I work. I organize things. It was such a hassle. She claims to not be... worked up about it, but she keeps bringing it up. It is just...
I mean, workplace drama.
Oh, it is the worst.
I'm done with workplace drama. I got drama in my personal life. You and I, emotional relationship is very rocky. No, but like, we all got our own personal dramas with our extended families and everything. What do we need drama at work for?
There is a reason why when I come home and there is nobody here... And I have no plans for the weekend, 2 days. I am quite happy with no social contact.
You know what? I've noticed that and stuff. And sometimes I thought, oh, man, he's lonely. He's not doing nothing.
Not
I go,
lonely.
But you're loving life.
Not lonely.
You're hanging in the apartment, relaxing.
Oh, I'm too busy with day job, this job, other job.
Yeah.
Other potentials.
Podcasting empire.
Making things. Yeah.
Like, Christ, you're exhausted by Saturday.
So Facebook, stop suggesting things to people. And then I put an acquaintance under the high school that I went to under that list. Oh, I didn't go to this high school. I don't care if you went to the high school. I'm just putting you there because I just reference you from that town. Okay.
That's the one thing I hate about Facebook is if you make some kind of comment and somebody gets offended or they take, you know what the worst thing is the spelling. If you take me to task for spelling in a haughty manner, I could come through that computer screen and just smoke you one.
Like, who cares?
Who cares? And you know what? Did I mean to spell it wrong? No. It was the cracked iPhone for like a century. Did you see my new iPhone?
Yeah. Okay. I saw it. The D and the F, they're close together. It's my fat fingers.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Things happen. You don't do, if you do a spelling mistake, it's very rare.
I did a posting, a status the other day. I was really into REO Speedwagon.
Oh, I love me some REO Speedwagon. I'm gonna keep on loving you,
'cause it's the only thing I wanna do. Was digging that song, was digging some more songs.
I Can't Fight This Feeling?
Yeah. And then Take It on the Run,
baby.
So good.
That was from, what was the name of the record? I had the cassette. I took it with me to 4-H camp, and it was the soundtrack to my summer romance.
I love when that happens.
Or attempted romance. I never really came to fruition.
Attempted, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah.
So I put that really jammed REO Speedwagon. And then
you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that was the name of the record.
I like tuna fish.
Yeah.
So I'm jamming, put that as my status because, you know, it makes me look like I'm sophisticated with the older stuff. And then right after that song was the classic guitar solo of Sweet Child of Mine.
Ooh, nice.
So I'm jamming to that, and then I put a comment, man, the next song is Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, Sweet Child of Mine, love that guitar riff. And then the friend's like, that's not REO Speedwagon. I was like, I am aware of my bands here, people. Don't be that person.
There's one song, when it fires up, if you're in the car, you're going to stop what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. That guitar riff fires off, and you go, okay, shit's getting real. Here we go. We're cranking to 11. It's karaoke time in the car. Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving with that body. I just know it. Speaking of old school, you heard the news. Fleetwood Mac is back. Full lineup. Christine McVie, the whole thing. She left the mansion in the countryside of England because there's too much smog and she's going back on tour. That's a true thing. There's smog in Britain.
Smog's intense.
They have freaking.
There's a lot of people.
A lot of people, a lot of industrialization, man, and they can't get it together.
A lot of problems.
A lot of problems.
I love Fleetwood Mac. Little Lies.
Go your own way. You can go your own way. That Rumors record, we got to get a turntable. How about if we go Havers on a turntable that has USB and we plug it in here? Wouldn't that be sweet? That's all we got to do. London Drugs. I was just there today getting my spectacles, my old man glasses. And I'm going to go see what a turntable is. I think they're like...
To play records or what?
To play records. I got lots of records.
So you actually have physical records.
I got lots of records and I got some obscure weird records for a guy my age. And I got some cool stuff too. And the first record I ever bought, purchased with my own hard-earned farm money, Working Class Dog by Rick Springfield. And I played the crap. And you know what? That guy, man, I think we talked about this in the show before. He's a rocker. Mm-hmm. He's not a pop guy. Even though he played Dr. Noah Drake on General Hospital during his heyday in the 80s, he was more of a rock. Like we saw his show just last year. Rock. All rock.
Love it.
He's doing a tour right now in the States, and I would kill to see it. It's him, Pat Benatar, and her husband, Neil Giraldo. who's a guitar crazy man.
You have a thing for Pat Benatar. Remember last week's Is the Show Short?
There's a reason for that, but I can't get into it here.
That sounds like a new...
Yeah, no, Pat Benatar, man, In the Heat of the Night, that cassette. Oh, boy. So that was good stuff.
I was on BuzzFeed the other day and I took this quiz, something about when are you going to get married?
Oh,
so yeah, interesting. Typical quiz, you answer the questions, whatever, whatever. The answer that I got, very soon. I was like, what, BuzzFeed?
It's like a fortune cookie.
They say, you are so close, it's not even funny. Brace yourself for the proposal because whether you're asking or accepting, it's happening with a quickness. I was like, are you, what?
It's time for a Sparky Love Life update. Her name was Lola.
She was a showgirl. I don't understand. Things were going so great. What happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me. When
you're
hot, you're hot.
When you're not, you're not. You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Okay, let's get to the girl. So you had the Starbucks with her once upon a time. The nurse.
We sort of text.
You text now after the initial meeting.
I think the flame has fizzled.
Oh, no.
But I think that's my fault.
Is it? What'd you do?
I don't think I was into it.
Oh, no.
I'm very selective.
She read your body language.
Very selective.
So she's...
I don't want to say on the...
It's not your type.
What if she's listening? Yeah, I don't want to be that guy.
You see, you know what? Kirk Clavin and I were just talking about this on the phone last night. We were amazed at what you spill on this show, and we don't want to curb it too much because we both enjoy it so much.
She's aware that I do this. I don't know if I've dropped the name or if she's... I'm not saying that she's not savvy enough to figure it out.
It's okay, though. Like, if you don't have the connection, you don't feel it?
Yeah, don't feel it.
Well, then being honest is way better than... Not.
Let me tell you, when I get drunk, someone take my phone away because I cannot with the drunk texts because I get into the mood of drunk texting and I should not be texting said person that is messy. My past is messy. Basically, there was the one that got away like 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
that's the one who gets...
She pops up every time and I'm just like, text. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm drunk. She's like, I'm not drunk. I was like, oh, God. And then the next day, I like kind of read what I've... I was like, delete this mess. This is a mess.
And what did she say? Any good response or no?
Oh, it's good, but she can't because she's...
In a committed relationship.
Yeah, she's occupied. Mm-mm. Not Wall Street, but she's occupied.
So she's like Northern Alberta lass, or where is she?
Yeah, an hour and a half.
City north from here. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, we're going to the Backstreet Boys together, so that'll be magical.
Oh, boy.
I haven't seen her in 2 years. Like, we've sort of been off and on conversing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So what was it that didn't work? Was it like a not the right place, right time, a maturity issue? What was it?
Well, I remember we met on an online site years ago. POF, if the kids are familiar, that's Plenty of Fish, which is not really highly recommended.
Heard that.
It happens, I guess. And I was living back home. I'd moved back home, I think, because it was after a messy breakup. And I was on there because it's small town Alberta. There's nothing to do past 4 p.m. any day of the week. And I'm on there, meet this really great looking chick. And she's into me, allegedly. And I send pictures, or there's pictures on there. And she's still digging it, which is weird. But hey.
What kind of pictures?
Normal pictures.
Okay.
Like smiles just in my face.
Checking.
And she's like, come to Fort Saskatchewan. That's where she's from. I was like,
What's she from?
Fort Saskatchewan.
Oh, Fort Saskatchewan.
Fort Saskatchewan. So it was an hour and a bit, hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours tops.
Yeah.
I didn't go. Why? Because I'm an idiot. And she actually, 2 weeks ago, she's like, if only you would have came to Fort Saskatchewan. Thanks for ruining my night for a haunting memory. That is the moment in time. Like, if this was the Back to the Future movie,
you would go there.
I would get Fort DeLorean, go back to whatever year that was. I would go to Fort Saskatchewan. There was nothing to lose back then. Why didn't I go?
So she married already? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yikes. That is a tough one.
It's complicated. And the booze, the Captain Morgan, makes my feelings come out.
Yeah. I understand that. I understand that.
So
now, why am I speaking of beautiful couples? Why am I looking at Topanga and Bruce or whatever his name is?
First off, congratulations for getting half of that right.
Yeah. I know her name.
Boy Meets World, and I don't remember what's boy. That's boy there.
Yeah.
That was just from the BuzzFeed thing. I took a screen capture because I could not believe they think I'm getting married tomorrow. Speaking of weddings, I got to ask you this because you're an MC extraordinaire. I'm emceeing my cousin's wedding this summer.
Yes.
I need tips.
Right. We talked about this before.
Yeah. Like, I need advice. What do I, like, I know what to do. I know what I have to do. And like, am I supposed to tell jokes? Am I supposed to tell stories? I know you're there to make things, you know, progress.
Do you know, the last wedding I was at was in Kelowna, and it was the family who kind of got up at the mic lots and they told stories about their sister.
Yeah.
And there is nothing like the sibling story. There's no way any host in the world can top that.
Yeah, well, exactly.
So if you can, if you don't want to go overboard and you just like facilitate, look good, sound good, drop a couple of jokes, like get a, you can get a couple of marriage jokes off the internet, whatever, customize it a little bit to the where you're at. And if you can, while you're schmoozing and having a cocktail, walk around there and just a little notepad and talk to the uncle and talk to the mama and stuff, say, what's the one thing she will just shudder if I bring up today? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that's all you do. You know what to do.
The looking good part, I actually asked this the other day. I was like, what do I wear? A definitely suit situation.
Yeah.
At the very least. Like, I guess there's many levels of suitage. Tux, is tux too much?
Tux, well, it depends on what their theme is.
I think a
if
nice
it's a
suit.
Summer wedding with a shorts, then you would look out of place.
I don't think there's shorts involved. It is in the middle of nowhere.
You got a suit?
I haven't worn the suit in a long, long, long time. I would be very surprised if it fits me nicely. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's too baggy.
Yeah. Oh, really? No, I don't know that feeling. Usually it's the other way. I got to get this ass let out. You know what? Moores?
Yeah.
They have some killer deals at Moores, who could be a potential sponsor if they know what's good for them.
I've been watching a lot of Gossip Girl, as you may or may not know. I'm on season 5 now.
And seriously, man, that's why you're not getting that's what Kirk figures. You're not getting a woman because of Gossip Girl.
But the girls love the Gossip Girl. I said,
I think that's the angle he's going for. He's in touch with the female side of things.
Very
so should
in touch
understand
with
them.
I'm in touch with them
but
without
I
touching
don't know.
Them.
I don't know.
There's no touching.
But
Chuck Bass, one of the characters, very high society, very sharp dressed suit, nicely fitted suit with a thing in the pocket.
You can't afford
pocket.
That suit.
No, but that's what I want to aspire to be.
Yeah, me too.
So
we can't afford those suits.
I have to RSVP too. I keep holding off like I'm going to bring a date, but let's get real. There's something happening.
Hey, what about you getting married in a month? You know, like just take her.
Exactly.
Take her. Anyway, you know what I want to, when you were talking about you saw this on the quiz or whatever, it reminded me of fortune cookies.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in the grocery store, you can buy those boxes of fortune cookies.
Generic. Don't know that, but
they're $2.50. You buy a whole box of fortunes.
Do you write your own?
No, they're in there. I think we should get the box of those and then put it on Facebook and Twitter and make the people respond and say, if you want your fortune read live on It's a Show, you will respond to us with your name and your contact. Because we're really stalled on the Facebook and Twitter getting people involved.
I'm trying to be interactive here.
You are very interactive.
I'm trying.
There's nothing wrong with your post.
You know?
The only thing wrong with our Facebook is this
blue
thing.
I know the blue is going.
We're going to put something there, like a family portrait.
There's
or
an empire to build.
You can't build an empire on the blue thing on the top of our
God
Facebook.
Bless Wayne Skeels.
This guy,
he likes everything. God bless him. But, you know, comment. Good God, man.
Yeah. No, Wayne Skeels is a cool guy and a power broker. He's like a... like a ATB big money banker guy.
It's a show podcast sponsored by Wayne Skeels.
I think he's waiting for us to hit a home run so he can pitch us to the boss. That's what he's waiting.
Home run?
How about the who's awesome?
You're awesome.
Wayne Skeels.
Don't forget, I have another one here if you want to just get into that since we're here.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Karak Hendrix, guitar player extraordinaire, also government worker on the sly.
Ooh.
When he's not being a rock star, he's pushing paper in the legislature or something like that.
You know what he retweeted a couple weeks ago? Not gonna lie, kind of loving It's a Show pod, and you will too.
Rock star. See, what did I tell you? Rock star.
Rock star.
Who's awesome?
You're awesome.
We're gonna skip knowing me, knowing you, just for time. We need to throw some ABBA in on the end of the show because I'm starting to hurt.
Hey, you obviously didn't get to the end of last week's shorty.
Oh, no, I haven't.
There's a little bit of ABBA in there.
Okay.
A little bit.
I love the cheers off the top. We recorded an It's a Show short. If you want to go back an episode, I don't know what the sound quality is like because on my PC, it was a little bit hard to hear our gold because of all of the ambient noise, shall we say?
A lot of festival.
Because last time we recorded at Murph's Pub, there wasn't that many people there.
It was hopping at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, people. I think it's because of breakup in the oil field. People are taking.
I've heard of this.
Yes.
It's tough. It gets better.
Taking a breather. Workers. It says GA and Sparky occupy space at Murph's for the It's a Show short. What happens when you meet for a brew? You talk business, review stats, and wonder what Stu Jeffries is up to.
Soundboard is good. In the
world today, I hit the post.
Takes everything you've got.
Yes, it does.
Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your names. And they're always glad you came.
Even the guy who shaves his neck in the bar. It's kind of weird.
So the quality's great.
Quality's great on this
episode.
You
were just, you need a new phone, period.
No, the song was great. It was just us talking that was.
It was fine. Trust me.
Right. So now I noticed that when we do a short, you don't count it as an episode.
Well, I just title it differently.
So we were on 18, then we did a short, which is technically 19.
Technically,
or 18
yes.
And 0.5.
But I'd like to think the short is its own little separate
island.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
It's like a feature. We've got the regular episodes, such as this one. Then we've got the It's a Show shorts, where we're usually mobile and probably in a bar.
Most likely. Or
remember college? We need to go back there.
You got to go back to college.
Oh, the college.
Oh, for spring. Right before
spring.
They let out for summer.
There is nothing better than the signs of spring, a.k.a. very attractive girls with legs, and you get to see the legs.
I don't look at all at stuff like that on campus. That's not what I'm about because I have a daughter in college.
I do. Creepsy.
Okay, so here is the thing. You mentioned the islands, or I did.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband Chris Martin from Coldplay, they broke up, big celebrity breakup.
Yeah.
But this week they are back together on an island, Tim and Faith's Island, that they own.
.com. Mm-hmm.
They're at their resort hanging out for the week. Like
maybe it's Tim and Faith.
If that's how you
counseling.
Break up, I want to break up with somebody. Like seriously, you have to go to Tim and Faith's Island. Hang on. All right. So I think it's obvious we're both out of steam.
That was a solid episode, though.
I'm pretty satisfied. You got angry in the middle, which is always great for the podcast when you get upset.
Plus, we have to get into our special guest, the Big Swigger.
No, the Big Swag. You're gonna love this.
Oh, we get phone calls. Yes, we get phone calls. Oh, we get lots and lots of phone calls. We get your phone calls. You give us phone calls. And we put you on the air.
Hello.
Swagger.
Yes.
Greg Allen, Shannon Esquire III, and my podcast partner, Sparky. Sparky is just becoming familiar with the legend that is the Big Swag. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining It's a Show, our special guest star is Brett the Big Swag Wagner. He's a big deal. So you know what? We got something in common besides being, you know, tall, dark, and relatively handsome. Once upon a time, you had a syndicated show that was syndicated in 85 markets on the radio, and so did I.
Yeah, radio's fun. It was very fun. That was called Monster Radio. Before that, I was on a show called Wrestling 101. So, yeah, radio is great if you're getting paid, and we all know it's tough to get paid in radio.
I've had several conversations with you on the radio, and you're built for radio. Why can't we get something going for you?
You know, listen, man, I'm trying to get it so I get sponsored so I can move up to Canada. I mean, I'm totally done with the U.S. I love it down here, and you can make a living, but I just, you know, I'm so much in Canada. I really love it up there, and there's a lot of opportunity, and besides yourself and some of your cohorts, so that I get to go in and see, sometimes radio's lacking out there personality, so I'm ready to step in.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with how it works with immigration, but just say you became our intern for It's a Show, and then, you know, we could sponsor you, and you could stay at Sparky's house. He's got an extra bedroom.
If I just kick him out of the bed, I'm sure I'm bigger. Hey, it's the Big Swag from Pastime and Monster Garage, and you're listening to GA and Sparky on It's a Show. Really, you guys called your show It's a Show? You couldn't come up with something different? Really, that's what you called it? It's a Show! Get with it, folks!
So how did this whole car thing happen? Because that's a huge part of what you do. You get flown all over the place, Canada, all over the U.S., to different car shows. Why?
You know, I started many years ago. I was on The Voice and fill-in host on Monster Garage with Jesse James. So it kind of started then. Like a year into the show, I would start calling because I didn't get paid a lot of money, but I got some good exposure for 5 years on the show, and I would call people, bike rallies, car shows, and see if they knew who I was. And they would go, I don't know who you are. I'd say, go ask your kid. And then the kid would know. And they go, oh, all right, well, we'll pay you a couple dollars to come out. And then, you know, for 10 or 12 years, I've been making the circuit. I got Pastime, which is a drag racing show, which still airs up in Canada, thank goodness, because it doesn't air in the States anymore. So for the last 5 years, I was doing the drag racing show and quite popular. So, you know, a lot of other celebrities make a ton of money. They go make appearances and they work for 2 hours, and I sit there and I work all day for 3 days straight. So, you know, I think the people, they like me when I come out, and I'm just your average redneck that loves cars. So I fit in well.
Absolutely. Now we're just scrolling through your IMDb from all your acting work. You were on Hannah Montana. You're
going to make fun of some movie that's on there called Alien Naked Massacre.
Far be it from us to make fun of it.
Desperate Housewives. I used to love that show.
He was a moving man on Desperate Housewives.
It's a good show.
Seriously. Sparky likes all the girly shows.
That's a movie coming up a little bit. I do a lot of horror movies. Now, talk about some of the bigger names, but we'll go. Go ahead.
Well, you're like Nip Tuck. You were on Prison Guard on Nip Tuck. What else? Yes, Dear. So Yes, Dear is the one where he fought Chuck Norris.
You're being generous. I took a beating from Chuck Norris.
Now,
you're being very kind.
To be honest, when that scene was about to happen, did you think he's not so tough? He's just a little tiny person. Like, what's the big deal?
You know what? I mean, I don't even know how old the guy is. I'm sure he's in his 60s and close to 70. He might be 72 or something. He's in really good shape. I wasn't going to mess with him. I mean, you know, the guys, people think, well, he's just some TV actor. No, I mean, legitimate. If you looked into the history of Chuck Norris, he was the real deal. He was a points champion, a karate champion for many years. And
with all that training comes the confidence, and that's sometimes all you need is just, I mean, you can intimidate a lot of people just by your size, but as we all know, there's always somebody bigger, right?
There's always someone tougher. It doesn't matter how big they are. My dad used to tell me, even when I was at my biggest and was on the soft, as we call steroids, and I was doing pro wrestling and I was giant of a man, it doesn't matter. There's always someone tougher around the corner. And I had opened my mouth a few times in my lifetime and have been clocked. It doesn't matter how small a 135-pound guy can knock you out or make you have a bad day if you're not careful.
What about your dad? Was he a big guy?
You know, my dad wasn't a very big man. I was adopted, both me and my sister, but my dad had very big forearms. And you've got to be careful of a guy that's got big forearms, because when he shakes your hand, if he doesn't want to let go of your hand, he ain't letting go. So my dad would make a point. If he wanted to make a point, I'd shake his hand goodbye or something, and he wouldn't let go. And then you'd be forced to sit there and listen to what he had to say for 10 or 15 minutes. I wanted to borrow the car, and I was a senior in high school, and I was, you know, 310 pounds in great shape playing football. And he was talking to his friend by the pool, and I said, I'm going to borrow the car. And he said, no, I need it. And I said, Dad, I'll be right back. And he said, no, I need the car. And then I just took the keys, and next thing I know, I was flying through the air into the pool. So,
holy
man. I'm just telling you, it's all leverage. Watch a Steven Seagal movie when he didn't have three chins. You'll see what I mean.
Oh, man. I interviewed a stunt guy this year who's done a lot of work with Steven Seagal. And Steven Seagal's favorite thing on the movie with the new stunt guy is to kick him in the can, like right in the balls, dead on. And it's part of initiation. If you're a stuntman and you're working a movie with Steve, you're going to get kicked in the sack. And I said, well, that is just damn right sadistic. So
now, there's a famous story about Steven Seagal and Gene LaBelle. Judo Gene LaBelle is a very famous judo guy, ex-pro wrestler. Currently, I think he helps and he does some training with Ronda Rousey, who, UFC female champ. And he's a very big time, or used to be a big time stunt coordinator. And Steven Seagal is very famous for beating up on his actors and his stunt guys. And Gene LaBelle, who's probably 85 right now, could still kick everybody's butt, told him, hey, you got to relax. You're hurting my guys. And Steven Seagal told him to, you know, kiss his rear end. And Lisa, well, they stepped into a room real quick, and supposedly Gene choked him out, made him soil his pants. So, that's, you know, I'm telling you, if you know what you're doing, it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter who you are. But yeah, that's a very famous story. And I asked him about it one time because he teaches at this guy, Gokor Chavichian, who's a very famous Armenian martial artist that trains a lot of guys to fight in the UFC. And they teach a class together. And I asked him about it. And he just smiled and said, Steven's a friend of mine. And that's all he would keep saying. So
that's awesome.
I like to say that I know Gene LaBelle, but I'm afraid if he says I'm a friend of his, I'm going to be choked out somewhere.
You know, the stunt guy is actually from Saskatchewan, and his name is Loro Chartrand. Have you ever run across him on the movie sets?
No, but if he's from Saskatchewan, he deserves to be kicked in the nards.
Zing.
I'm from Saskatchewan. Frick.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You got to pick one place to, you know, like you got to pick one place in Canada to bag on people besides Montreal. So that's the only.
Yeah, Montreal's too easy. So is Toronto these days with Mayor Ford.
It's funny when we take all your celebrities down here and we have to deal with them. And now we get your mayor, you know, your Toronto mayors who keeps going on TV all over the time, and Jimmy Kimmel. It's like, come on. We already took Beaver and Avril Lavigne and the bald guy, whatever the bald guy
Howie Mandel.
You know, it's like, stop it. Stop giving us this trash.
It's free trade, man. You got to talk to Obama.
Give me the Indian comic, Russell Peters. I'll take him. He's funny.
He is funny.
I have a theory. If you don't speak another language, you can fake it. The trick is to know what another language sounds like. And then when you do your impression of it, sound angry when you do it. Because when you're angry, you'll screw up whatever you're trying to say anyway. It doesn't matter what language, even if you speak the language. You know, just you'll get angry and you'll screw it up. So if you know what it sounds like, you can fake it by just sounding angry. Like, I'll give an example. If I went to India, there's over 200 languages in India. I don't know any of them at all. I know, like, a couple of greetings, but I don't know enough to get me in or out of trouble. But I know what they all sound like. And if I was stuck in India and I needed some help, I would just fake it. They would never know. I could be stuck in India in a market. I'd be like, "Ek tam bol khad bol." They won't know. They'll be like, "Oh my God, he's very angry. I don't know. I don't know what dialect that one is, but this man is very angry. He's most angry."
Hey, by the way, you know, we got to talk about one of your newest forays, and something that takes giant balls to do is stand-up comedy. And you actually got up at a bowling alley city for amateur night and tried it when you were here doing the car show.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I broke my cherry at, I can't even think of the bowling alley.
Heritage Lanes.
Heritage Lane, yes, I broke my cherry. When it went in there and they were doing, and I can't think of the comic who was the headliner. He's really good, but everybody else was brand new, and I've been taking a stand-up class, my second time taking a stand-up class with a very funny comedian named Tom Clark out of Los Angeles, and I never finished it, and I was like, you know what, I'm probably not going to finish this class either, so I might as well just go up and try it. And I didn't finish because I got busy, and I just, when it comes down to classes and the ending when you got to go up and do 5 minutes and you just don't think you're as funny as everybody else, so I always quit. But I went up, did 5 minutes, got a couple laughs, scared a few people, farted on stage, and so I figured, you know what, all is good.
That's great. Going back to your IAMDB resume, NYPD Blue, what do you remember about doing a bit on NYPD Blue? Because that was one of my favorite shows.
You know, I played a tattoo artist, and I had a couple, it was towards the end, so there was two of the young girl cops that came in to question me, and it was very funny because I never got an acting gig. This guy used to bring me in, the casting director used to bring me in for Lorenzo Lamas, had some biker show, and I can't think of the name of
it. He was a cop and good at his job, but he committed the ultimate sin and testified against other cops gone bad. Cops that tried to kill him, but got the woman he loved instead. Framed for murder, now he prowls the Badlands, an outlaw hunting outlaws, a bounty hunter, a renegade.
Shoot, man, I went in, I used to dread going in because I would never get a gig on this thing. And then all of a sudden, he calls me one time and says, "You want to play a tattoo artist on NYPD Blue?" Which still was a big show. And I'm like, of course. He's like, "All right, we had someone bow out, you're working tomorrow." And I was like, wow, if only acting gigs were that easy. You know, it was a huge show at the time. And I remember, I think that's Botchko, and I think I got a letter from them. And they said, you know, it was just probably the secretary signing it. You know, he said, "Thank you very much for being a part of our show. Did a fine job."
Is there one piece of memorabilia you have from a movie or a television show that you did that you kind of display proudly and get a kick out of looking at all the time?
Well, you know, I'm a big horror movie guy, and I've done a lot of horror movies. And I did a movie called The Crazies in 2010 with Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, man, and, Justified is one of my favorite shows.
I can't even get on that show for some reason. I think it's almost over. I think the last, I don't know if it's the last season or not. But,
hope not, because it's awesome.
So, you know, what's very funny is Walton Goggins, who plays, his counterpart on the show. I used to park cars with Walton back in the day.
There's no substitution for a winning personality.
Now he's a big timer on the, he was on The Shield, and now I forget what his character is on Justified, but he's the semi-bad guy in the show. But I'm filming the movie, and I was like, I got to get something and take something home. I was playing that, you know, this guy that gets infected, so I'm this monster infected kind of guy, and I can't take the makeup home, obviously, because it gets peeled off every night. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take one of those director's chairs, the backing piece that says The Crazies.
Yeah.
And it just says cast, you know? So I'm going, so I asked the first or second AD or something. I said, hey, where are those? He's like, well, they're over there in a box, but don't get caught taking it. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll be slick. So I go over there, I grab one, I run back, go to my trailer, and it has a friggin' director's name on it.
Oh,
Breck Heisner. So I then 2 days later had to go return it and grab one that was just blank and set The Crazies and cast on it.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That. I love that. So,
that's hilarious. So, yeah, let's talk about it. The elephant in the room, The Walking Dead. You know, we're looking at the pictures on the website and IMDb, and you would be perfect for that show. You could do anything.
Oh, my God. I would love to be.
How do you get on? Is it your agent? You need a new agent, or what's the deal?
No, this is the problem. It's a TV show that films in Atlanta. So
right.
They're only going to take the upper echelon of actors. If they have a new cast member, they're going to cast out of Los Angeles, and it's going to be a bigger name. Not that I don't have a big name, but TV, and they're going to take someone with a bigger name. So unless it's some specific biker part or redneck part, they'll hire local hires in Atlanta to play the smaller parts. They won't, because then they got to fly you first class over. It's already a very expensive show. They got to wine and dine you while you're there. It's a big deal. So, but yeah, man, some of the guys that do the makeup on the show are my good friends, and I keep bugging them to, I'm like, please. Because listen, even, you know, different zombies that are on the show, even if, you know, they'll call you the RV zombie, or they give you these names, you know, and then you're immortalized on The Walking Dead, and you get to go do all the horror movie conventions. And plus, residual-wise, it's a hot show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I did The Mentalist, and I did The Mentalist, like, in the third season, which was very hot, and then I keep running it. They run them to death, so you make extra, you know, you make residuals on it, so it's a good-paying gig. And, that as an actor, that's why when you do a commercial, if you do a union commercial, that's a national commercial, I mean, you can make, you know, $100,000, or you can be lucky and be like the chick on, you know, Flo on Progressive, and, you know, get lucked into where you're doing 10, 15 spots a year and you're making millions of dollars. So
right.
you go audition, you know, you get your agents, and when they need a tattooed hillbilly redneck truck driver, some kind of tow truck driver thing, you know, you go in an audition, and there'll be, you know, there might be 40 other guys there.
Did you watch that Netflix show I told you about? Hey, you're that guy in that thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good business if you can stay the course, and you can save your money. And when there's a slow time and there's no acting going on, you know, think that hopefully you got money, or you're like me, when there's no acting going on, I fly to Canada, or I go to Iowa, or I go to Texas, or, you know, I'm at the Edmonton Auto Show next weekend. So with Electric Garage doing car auctions, get to check out that monstrosity, which is the Edmonton Auto Show. So, you know, I'm blessed. I'm very lucky that I've been on some reality shows that people like, and I get to travel around and make a dollar when I can. So
let me ask you this. When you're coming into Canada, is it easy because you're kind of on a semi-regular basis coming to the country? But a guy, no offense, that looks like you, are you having problems getting across in customs?
It's tough, man. I mean, you know, I don't know. I know it goes both ways, but I mean, I've been doing it. You know, we've known each other a long time now. So I've been coming into Canada probably for 8 years now.
Yeah.
7 or 8 years, and the first 3 or 4 years, it was so tough. You want to argue, you want to say stuff, because before I'd have to get a work permit, which is about $500 extra, just some kind of permit that most of them didn't even know what it was.
Right.
Don't know why I have it. You have to show them where you're staying. You have to show them how much you're getting paid, which I feel is like no one's business. All this paperwork just for the guy to go to immigration. Then you go to immigration, and they go, what the hell are you doing here? Why are you getting paid? Why are you getting paid that? I'm like, you know, then you got to explain yourself all over again. But I've figured it out. It's a lot easier now. And plus, when I go up, I cover for a couple websites. I cover the shows I'm coming up for. So they like reporters and people that cover the news or cover the events better than they like people coming up and taking money out of the town. So.
Man, oh man, yeah. Like,
I'm almost, you know, if you argue too, if you argue with immigration, especially in Vancouver, man, they will just—you can't say go get your supervisor because you remember what happened to that Polish guy? They tased him and killed him. So you know, yeah. or they put you right back on the plane. I don't know if that was Vancouver, by the way. It could have been Edmonton. I don't know, but they put you right back on a plane. The next plane going back to Los Angeles. So it doesn't.
They got a lot of power, but you know what I don't understand is, yeah, just because you look a certain way doesn't mean you've committed a murder or you're a drug mule. Like this.
Oh yeah, I cover the tattoos completely. You don't show tattoos going through.
So you just got long sleeve shirts and you're good.
Absolutely, man. And yeah. You just got to, you know, the game. I know the game now, so I just don't play it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. In Calgary, if the girl's got a flat top, you don't go to her.
Because that's going to be tough sledding. That's going to be tough sledding.
I'm not mentioning names at the Calgary airport. I'm just saying, if the girl's got a flat top and you're going up, wait a second, drop a pen, drop your books, wait for the next guy to go. Don't go to her.
Fake a cramp.
Fake a cramp. That's it. Oh.
Oh man.
No, you know, I went to every time I go to Calgary. So last time I come in, I mean, it's easier. But I'm sitting there with the guy and this girl with this flat top who I won't mention her name. Don't I know you? I'm like, yeah, every time I come in, you send me to immigration. And she just gave me the dirtiest look. And then the guy was like, he's like looking at me going, shut your mouth. Don't say nothing else. I'm like, okay, man. And he's, you know, trying to chuckle, but he's saying, don't piss her off, you know. So, you know, I'm old now. I'm older now. So I'm 46. So, like, when I go out of town, you know, I just make sure the hotel's got Wi-Fi. I go do my business. I may go have some dinner. You know, I go do, like, if I go to Vancouver, I do the radio in the morning, do breakfast TV, then I go to the gig, and then I go right back to my hotel room. I know better than to go get in trouble in Canada, because it's the same thing. I'm not going to be able to come back up.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the, you know, United States. If you have a DUI out here, if you ride with a motorcycle club, if you have a DUI, they won't let you into Canada. And rightly so, they probably shouldn't.
Right.
So you got to mind your P's and Q's, you know, and the last thing I want to do is have them Mounties up there lock me up and look at me like I'm a piece of meat. That's the last thing I want to do. Now, you come down to the United States, I'd get you in deep trouble.
Yeah, I bet you could.
That's fine. I know my way around here. So
what, describe for us, because we're in the frozen Arctic tundra that you very well know, that is Canada. We're looking out our It's a Show World HQ, and it's nothing but snow still in April. So what are you looking at? What are you looking at?
We live about 30, me and the fiance live about 40 minutes outside of Hollywood North. We live in a place called Canyon Country. So we're kind of like in the woods, so to speak. I mean, there's trees, a lot of trees. Everybody around us has got, like, you know, we rent. So everybody around us has got like big properties with horses. And the place I live, we have like a room where they put a 100-year-old bar in it.
Nice.
They took this bar. So I have a wagon wheel. And I'm looking out it, and it's a window, wagon wheel window, and I'm looking at nice blue skies, probably 75 degrees, little windy.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. And we had a little bit of rain today, but it rained maybe for 10 minutes and then maybe 20 minutes, and then that was it. So
your whole life's been growing up in America. What's your favorite thing about living in California besides the weather?
You know, I think there's so much to do. Everything is within a couple hours. I grew up in the Northridge, California. So I grew up where Valley Girls are from.
Wow.
You know, like, oh my God. And then if you see like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, or you see movies like that. That's where I grew up.
Universal Pictures presents everything you always wanted to do in high school with everyone you always wanted to do it with.
Hey, bud, let's party.
They're the students of Ridgemont High. Brad Hamilton, the fast food king.
I shall serve no fries before their time.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Charles Jefferson. A man with a mission.
Oh, gnarly.
Linda Barrett. Not exactly the girl next door.
Awesome. Totally awesome.
And Jeff surfs up Spicoli.
People on lewds should not drive. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
See Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So you have Hollywood, you know, was 15, 20 minutes from me. You have, you know, the beach is 40 minutes from me. The mountains are, you know, an hour and 20 minutes from me. Vegas is 4 hours from me. Everything is so close that there's so much to do. And you don't realize until you go up to Calgary and you're in Red Deer and there's snow all the time how lucky you are. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with the snow. I just, you know, if I grew up in it, maybe I'd better have my sea legs, my snow legs better. And it's tough to find snow hookers and when it's snowing real, it's tough. It just depends on where you want to live. I like Calgary. I wish there was I love Red Deer. I think Red Deer is a cool place to live. I would love to live there, but it just 6 months out of the year, I'd have to live somewhere else. So
more like nine.
5 months, whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I live at that bowling alley.
They got everything you need, man. They got recreation, a bar, stage, entertainment. It's all there.
Little tiny glasses, though. They got little you know, one thing. Little tiny water glasses. I can't figure it out. I'm like, what is this? Like, you know, like a this is not kindergarten. I'm at a bowling. They made me take my shoes off. You walk in, I'm like, I got to take my shoes off. What is it? We're not, you know, the restaurant.
It's like prison.
Prison, they make you take more than that off.
Yeah. Out of all the roles you've played and villains and whatever and all the shit you've done on TV and in the movies, what was your favorite, like, most interesting role? Oh, I got to be a tattoo artist. That kind of seems to be a natural play for you. But what have you done that you really thought was interesting?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, my favorite, not many people know, but I was in the 2002 remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Jessica Biel. I was Leatherface for like a week and a half.
Oh, wow.
I threw my back out and I got replaced. That was like the ultimate, but I got hurt. So, I was doing a TV show called MDs, I believe. And I got a really good role playing this young father.
Yeah.
It, like, really weird. The neighbor, we get in an argument and he shoots World War II, like, rocket grenade at me and it gets lodged in my side and doesn't explode. So we're in the hospital and one of the doctors is like, from Yugoslavia, and he's looking on the x-rays as there's a woman, you know, trying to, oh, there's something in his side, let me take it out, and he says, don't move, it's a grenade. So then they put all these, you know, she's got to stand there with her hands on my side, and they got to put all these sandbags around, and they call them the bomb unit, you know. So that was the whole gimmick. But it was a great gig. And then they take it out and they reunite with my son, and it would have been a really great scene for my acting reel. And but in the middle of it, I remember they all walked off and I hear crying in the next room. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Cause I'm all attached to everything. I can't move.
Right.
And the show had been canceled. They were done. After the season, there was no more of this show. So everybody comes back in, they start going, we get going a half hour. Cause they got two more episodes, this one and one more to do. And then they would have been done. So like a half hour later, everybody leaves the room again. Now I hear more crying. Well, now I can hear over talking that they're like, done. We're not even finishing this. We're not even going to finish this episode. It's all done. So everybody leaves. They start leaving. I'm stuck. I'm on the table going, hey.
Oh, no.
And then someone comes back and goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. You know, and I'm like, well, can you unhook me from all this crap? But,
oh, man.
You know, that. And then, you know, I was on Hannah Montana, which was very fun. It was pretty cool. And
did you interact with Miley, like with Miley Cyrus?
Nah, her dad.
Yeah,
she was cool back then. She signed. I asked her dad. I said, "Hey, can you?" At the time, the girl I was dating, she had two young kids that watched. I said, "Can you give me two signed autograph pictures?" He said, "Yeah, no problem. I'll go talk to her and get it." So
yeah,
he was pretty cool. Now I think he's like the worst dad in America. His daughter's not that big that she can't go over his knee and get a spanking.
It seemed like he had it together, and his wife Tish as well, raising Miley, and everything was going good. And because that show was huge in my household with my girls and my son too. And it was pretty funny. Like that kid that played her brother or whatever is hilarious. And
I just did a TV show with him kicking it. He's like 38 or 40 and he's still playing young kids on TV, but he's got the last laugh because the guy's been working for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, do you regret, you know, because doing whatever, 9 years on Hannah Montana, and then he's done this Kickin' It show for Disney with these other kids for like 4 or 5 years. He's like, man, I make a good living. I direct some of them. I don't worry about money.
Yeah.
You know, it's not CSI Miami. It's not The Mentalist. It's, you know, but the guy's a working actor. He's worked for 15 years. I dream of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the bottom line is, anybody in this profession of entertainment, you are there to entertain the audience, whatever that audience is. And he's definitely had a huge track record in that regard too, right?
Yeah, I mean, and he's directing some of them. They let him direct, which is a cool thing. And it's just, I've done a lot of TV, but I've never, you know, that guy's been on Disney for 15 years. I'm sure he makes a decent dollar. It's not like you're making $100,000 an episode. Or $2 million like Charlie Sheen, but I guarantee he's making $25,000 an episode, doing probably 22, you know, episodes a year with residuals and everything else. And 15 years, it's $25,000 times 22 for 15 years, solid.
Yeah,
count me in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please count me in, because you know, then you don't have to. And Hannah Montana will be in syndication for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
It's like Seinfeld. When Seinfeld went to syndication, my God, him and the producer made so much money. I mean, made more money than you know. I don't know. I think they both made like, you know, $500 million each.
Yeah.
And that's just for reruns, for God's sake. You don't have to work ever again.
Do you watch that Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Seinfeld's web series?
I love it. I love him more now that I want to do stand-up than I did when the show was on. But the show was brilliant. I mean, I auditioned for that show a couple times, and it was very funny. You'd walk in, and it's, you know, the number one show on TV. So there's 20 writers around the table, long table. There's producers around the table, and at the end is Seinfeld, you know, Jerry. And you walk in, and you stand there for a second. You know, the casting brings you in, they're arguing about something. He goes, well, you're ready. And you're just like, and everybody turns toward you and gets quiet. And you're like, oh my God. And then you read and you go, not bad. See ya. And you're like, holy crap. You know,
that
probably was, I think it was a delivery guy. It's, you know, like a Chinese food, big,
yeah,
chubby, big beer belly delivery guy. That was,
yeah.
And I didn't get it. Go figure. But I got nervous.
Well, you that's know? The thing. I mean, like, if you're walking into that scenario, you'd be crapping yourself with Seinfeld and all these high, powerful writers. That's crazy.
It is nuts. I don't worry about it now.
Yeah.
Now I just get bitter when I don't get the job. Back then, I would get nervous.
Yeah. I mean, you've had some experiences, man. 20 years of doing this, you've had some cool experiences, and we really appreciate when you answer the phone. And you know what? I'm looking forward to your podcast, because you like that. You just got to find somebody like-minded to partner up with, and that's what Sparky and I did. Like, I got a certain thing I bring to the table. He brings most of it, all the equipment, and it's not that hard, man.
I was about to say, I haven't even heard the guy breathe. Is he alive? Is he there? I mean, all of a sudden got dead silent, like you smacked him or something.
I'm educating myself. I'm reading your website, okay, reading the IMDb, and yeah.
Yeah, he's reading all your accolades on the web while we're talking.
It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. That's what acting is, and that's definitely, and I mean, I've been lucky, I didn't save money, I should have, but I've been lucky to keep pushing along, and you know, I keep reinventing myself, but in Hollywood, it's all smoke and mirrors. There's no reason the Kardashians should have become famous just for having a nice rear end and decent looking eyes. But it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
The press makes you famous. You hang out with Paris Hilton. You release, you know, your own sex tape when you say, oh my God, it got stolen.
Yeah.
So Hollywood and the entertainment business, and the same with them, I'm sure, in Vancouver, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's just what you can say you've done or how you present yourself and what, you know, Facebook is a prime example. YouTube, man, if you can get a million hits on something,
Yeah.
On a YouTube thing. You might have your own show next week. It's that easy. You just got to roll with the punches and keep reinventing yourself. You know, I don't have a drag racing show on now. Like, I got the repeats in Canada, but now I got to go out and try to sell other shows, try to get more acting work. You know, try to move to Vancouver, which is my goal for 2015. So I'll become a blueberry farmer. You got two things in Vancouver that sell: pot and blueberries. And I'm too old for pot, so I'll get into the blueberries.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, you've been enjoying Brett the Big Schwag Wagner. He's all over the internet. And if you want him to host your bar mitzvah, your bris, anniversary celebration for your parents, he's available 24/7.
Got it, buddy.
Thanks a lot for doing this, man.
Thanks, bro. We'll see you again soon. Yeah, what's the name of the show?
It's a show.
It's a show?
It's a show about everything.
Hey, it's the Big Swag from Pastime and Monster Garage, and you're listening to GA and Sparky on It's a Show. Really, you guys called your show It's a Show? You couldn't come up with something different? Really, that's what you called it? It's a show! Get with it, folks! Thanks. Hey, if you want the new Leatherface, my buddy is the new Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Holy, who's your buddy?
His name's Daniel Yeager. You should befriend him on Facebook.
Good guy?
He's a nice guy. He's like the smartest Leatherface you'll ever meet. Book guy, builds bookshelves, carpenter, the whole bit. It's like weird.
And don't you get freaked out playing roles like Leatherface? Like, doesn't that weird you out?
I don't know. It's great, man. It's like you get to be somebody else.
One thing I forgot to ask you about is all this flying you got to do all over the countries and whatever. You're a big guy, man. Doesn't it suck sitting? Because you're not getting first class all the time.
I don't get first class ever.
Like, how do you jam in there, man? You're huge.
It's tough.
Yeah.
You gotta get an aisle seat, man.
You gotta get an aisle
seat. Hope there's some tiny Asian woman next to you.
Yeah, which generally there never is.
And they always wear them stupid masks, so then it freaks you out. You're
what?
Happy you got room, but they're wearing a mask. And you're like, what? What's going on? What country did you just come from?
Why did they? That freaks me out, too.
SARS.
Even in our town, I've seen that. And it's disturbing.
Yeah, but they're smart. I would do it as well, because every time I fly, I get sick.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Cause I'm afraid to be that guy, that big tattooed guy that all of a sudden comes in with a mohawk wearing one of the masks.
Yeah.
You know?
You'd cause quite a stir.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, you'd cause quite a stir.
It's like,
man,
when you go to Canada and they say you've been at a... When you come back, you're like, have you been on any animal farms? Oh, I had sex with a donkey. Does that count? No, they don't... Yeah. Canadian animal diseases back to the States, I guess.
Well, you'll learn more about that when you become a blueberry magnet.
I'm ready, a blueberry magnet. That sounds great.
Yeah. All right, man. All the best.
All right, man.
Take care.
See you, bro.